Hundreds of people showed up in Madison and Milwaukee to protest against President Donald Trump's immigration policies. It's Friday, May 2nd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a man arrested in Florida had a connection to the teenager who killed multiple people at a Madison school last year. And fishing season starts this weekend. Danielle Kading will tell us about a proposal to raise hunting and fishing license fees. Stay with us.
Make an appointment with Public Radio's favorite family doc on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Okay, Carl, do you like taking calls from our listeners?
I do.
How about sharing our wonderful heart-healthy recipes?
Absolutely.
Do you like to keep up with the latest medical research?
Always.
If you do, Carl, stay tuned.
Saturday afternoon at 1 and Sunday night at 6 on WPR News.
Hundreds of people gathered in Milwaukee and Madison yesterday to protest the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. Anna Marie Yanni reports from a high school walkout in the state's capital.
Students marched to the Capitol from Madison's East and West high schools. They rallied inside. Student speakers said they worry about immigration rights under the Trump administration. Leland Pan is a school social worker at Madison's La Follette High School.
In Madison schools, we know we have many different student identities that are under attack in this day and age politically.
Pan says many students come from immigrant and working class families and wanted to organize their own May Day protest. He says he came to help keep them safe. Anna Marie Yanni, Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's been 1 year since a shooting outside of a school shook the small community of Mount Horeb. School district leaders are following the lead of students and staff in marking the anniversary. Police were called to Mount Horeb Middle School on the morning of May 1, 2024 for report of a person outside with a weapon. Some students fled to nearby homes, others hid inside the school for hours. Police shot and killed a 14-year-old student who was pointing a gun at officers. They later learned that was an airsoft rifle. No one else was harmed. Superintendent Steve Salerno spoke to educators about the shooting earlier this year.
None of us has a corner on the market as to what is the proper way to grieve and then move forward.
This week, there are service dogs and increased law enforcement visibility in Mount Horeb schools. Authorities in Florida have arrested a 22-year-old man who's accused of planning multiple mass shootings. As Sarah Lear reports, he's also accused of plotting violence with the teenager who later killed multiple people at Madison's Abundant Life Christian School late last year.
Damian Allen faces multiple charges in Florida, including making written threats to kill. In a news conference this week, Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw said Allen had a large stash of weapons and had planned attacks at 7 locations.
This guy was ready to go. Had all the equipment, had the propensity to do it.
Documents filed in Palm Beach County Court describe how Allen communicated with Samantha Rubnow of Madison over social media in the months before the 15-year-old fatally shot 2 people at her school before shooting and killing herself. In those messages, Rubnow expressed enthusiasm for mass violence and said she had access to 2 handguns from her father. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Kohl's Corporation has fired its chief executive just months after he took the role. The Menominee Falls-based retailer made the announcement yesterday. The company says its board of directors terminated CEO Ashley Buchanan, quote, for cause. According to Kohl's, an investigation found that Buchanan violated the company's policies. He allegedly directed Kohl's to, quote, engage in vendor transactions that involved undisclosed conflicts of interest. Kohl's says the firing is not related to financial performance. Buchanan became CEO in January. He was the company's 3rd chief executive in 3 years. The company has appointed an interim chief executive. It also announced a search for a permanent replacement. About a month ago, the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced it was canceling about $11 billion in grants to local public health departments. The grants were initially created during the COVID-19 pandemic, but had lifespans of several years. Aaron Sapinski is the budget administration manager for the Milwaukee Health Department. He told Alders on the city's Public Safety and Health Committee yesterday that $2.4 million are frozen for a community health worker program and ventilation upgrades at local shelters.
That work is on hold, so we're not canceling it. It's important to us. We want to find a new way to do it.
Wisconsin has joined a group of states, mostly with Democratic governors, who've sued to block the government's cancellation of the grants. As anglers head to the lakes for Saturday's fishing opener, some conservation groups are hoping to reel in more support to increase license fees. As Danielle Kading reports, Governor Tony Evers wants to raise hunting and fishing license fees to address a shortfall in the Fish and Wildlife account.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is now projecting a $17 million deficit in the Fish and Wildlife account due to inflation. License fees would increase between $10 to $40 under Evers' plan. The account is the primary source of funding for fish and wildlife management in Wisconsin. Mike Arrowwood with Walleyes for Tomorrow says raising fees is long overdue since many haven't been increased in 20 years.
And the cost of everything has gone up exponentially over the course of 20 years, and the DNR is running out of money.
An audit of the account is expected this summer. GOP Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu said Senate Republicans will wait to address the account's deficit until it's released. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got a piece from Wisconsin Life about Wisconsin's driftless area. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with the name origin for a corner of the state.
As people enter the driftless area of southwestern Wisconsin, they're transported from a relatively flat region to a sudden maze of rolling hills. Roads wind up the sides of bluffs and then back down to the valleys below. Its beauty is without question. But where does the name driftless come from? That's a question sent to WPR's Wisconsin Project. WPR's Jonah Balekas hit the winding roads to find the answer for us.
Water flows through a stream in the Kickapoo Valley Reserve in Vernon County. Sandstone and limestone rock appear on a bluffside with white pine and yellow birch trees. I'm off a hiking trail after wading through wildflowers and other native plant life. While living in Madison, Claire Holland scratched her itch to explore by driving west through the bluffs and valleys of the driftless area. She asked Wisconsin where the name came from. I spoke with Colin Belby, professor and head of the Geography and Earth Science Department at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. He explains that driftless means the absence of glacial drift, hence driftless. If glaciers had passed through this part of the state, they would have left behind rock material that geologists could connect to other regions.
If you drive around to many parts of Wisconsin, you'll find, for instance, crystalline rocks. They're rocks that come from northern Wisconsin or even up into Canada that don't match the local sedimentary rock types that are maybe found in the southern part of Wisconsin or the southeastern part of Wisconsin. Well, so southwest Wisconsin has evidence of glacial drift, glacial erratics, or glacially deposited sediments on all sides of it, but there is no evidence of these glacial deposits within the driftless area.
So, what is the driftless area like? Back by the stream at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve and surrounded by chirping birds, I meet with Marcy West on a sunny afternoon. She's a member of the state's Natural Resources Board and ran the reserve for 24 years.
By my definition, it just feels very untouched, like we can see the hills and valleys and get into it, explore it, really look at the diversity of the plants and the birds, and just enjoy the quiet and solitude in some areas like this.
As she's a stone's throw away from the Kickapoo River, West says the river is by far her favorite part of the driftless area, especially when she's kayaking.
It just is such a gorgeous trip and an incredible way to see, again, those beautiful rock outcroppings and the huge pine trees and hemlocks hanging on to the rock outcroppings with the root systems, clear water, trout fishing, just the quiet and being able to see a variety of mosses and plants and birds in every season is definitely my favorite.
Belby, the UWL professor, also appreciates the area's diversity.
We have caves here. We have the big river, the Mississippi River. We have small streams. We have medium streams. It's just a really kind of diverse physical landscape that results in a very diverse kind of biological landscape. And also, I think, results in a very diverse cultural landscape. I think all those things are really, really tied together.
Whether it's the Baraboo Range with hills that cover thousands of acres in Sauk and Columbia counties, or the Mississippi River that separates Wisconsin and Minnesota, or Wildcat Mountain towering over the Kickapoo River in Vernon County, or Perot State Park, found at the confluence of the Mississippi and Trempealeau Rivers, Wisconsinites who have never seen the Driftless area can hop in their cars and chart a path through the southwestern part of the state that the last glaciers never did.
WPR's Jonah Balekas brought us that story on where Wisconsin's Driftless area got its name from. And that story idea came to us from an audience member as part of WPR's Wisconsin project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And let's get a quick check of weather before getting you out of here for the weekend. A little bit of rain in the northern part of Wisconsin to start the day. That could be making its way south throughout the day today. Otherwise, cloudy and cooler with high temperatures in the 40s and 50s. Clearing up a bit overnight, no rain or snow expected, but lows down into the 20s and 30s with some frost expected in the north. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Rob Menser and John Davis. As always, have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.